Is there a difference between what you do at work from day to day and your calling in life? Find out on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey friends, you're watching Inverse here. In the studio with me are my friends, and we are in the Inverse studio, I mentioned that, and we are talking about careers and callings. And there's a difference between those two, especially when we look at the topic of the will of God in this 13-week arc that we are in. There's some profound insights we're going to get from Scripture. We are going to study the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1 through chapter 2, somewhere in there. But before we do, I'm going to ask the Lord for a prayer, or we'll ask Israel to the Lord, for the Lord.
I'll pray.
You're going to pray for us.
I'll pray. Father in heaven, we ask for your blessing to be with us as we talk about this very important topic in Scripture. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Callie, can you read for us? Let's go to chapter 1 of Nehemiah, verse 11. That's the last verse. And pick up into chapter 2, about verse 9.
Okay. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And it came to pass in the months of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, What do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, How long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me.
Okay, thanks, Kelly.
Yeah.
This is a long passage, and we want to encourage you out there that when Scripture is being read Scripture along with us, in your own Bible, or online, or on your phones, or actually on the screen. But too often, when it comes to these long passages, lost the what's that?
You kind of zone out.
You zone out. You really zone out. And that's just kind of a disease of our generation that we need to prevent. For those of you wondering, what are we doing from week to week, you can also go to inversebible.org and see our Bible study guides there. And in this arc of knowing God's will, we go from how do we know God's will to the foundation of God's will, friends, marriage, sexuality, children, all these other things that we talk about that are incorporated in the topic of God's will. So today we are in Nehemiah, and Callie has read this passage.
I have.
Jonathan, what's going on here?
Well, if you really want to know what's going on, you just go back into the archives and watch two seasons ago. We had an entire season on the book of Nehemiah.
Yes.
But to summarize it here, Nehemiah is a descendant of the exiles who lived in the Babylonian Medo-Persian Empire. Mm-hmm. And he has become the cupbearer of the king. Mm-hmm. He's in a high position in the royal court. And we are here in the 5th century B.C., and now he has a burden for his city. Jerusalem is in ruins. He wants to rebuild the walls. He's recognizing that calling on his life. And so he is in the presence of the king and has an opportunity to share with the king his burden and to ask help from the king to fulfill this mission. That
I really appreciated the last episode that we did on identity and mission. I don't know who was on that show, but I think some of you were on that show. And that it's not about doing, but it's about knowing. and knowing who you are, being your inner identity. And here there is, we see there's a difference with Nehemiah on what he's doing, what he's called to do.
Yeah.
And what is the primary difference of those two things?
Well, there are situations in Scripture where clearly the vocation of the individual is also their calling, right?
The two do overlap.
Yeah, they overlap. Yes. And so, like, the mission of Jesus Christ was very clear, right? He was called to you know, heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and, you know.
Make the lame to walk again.
And cause the blind to see.
That's right.
So, amen, right? So... anything else?
I know, that's what we just automatically...
Okay, we got... All right, so that was... So the mission of Jesus and his vocation overlapped. And in this case, Jesus didn't even have a vocation. He quit his job as a carpenter and then went into full-time ministry. He was supported by the help of others, right? The famous quote of Jesus, you know, foxes have holes to live in, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. So in this case, the vocation of Christ and his calling overlapped, but in the case of Nehemiah, it's not so, right? Mm-hmm. Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer. Mm-hmm. This is his calling. Why is he the king's cupbearer? This is a result of circumstances, as Jonathan already mentioned. You know, he's a descendant of the exiles of Israel, and he found himself in this position, a high position of honor, through circumstance, through talent, through whatever, through providence or luck. Now, even though circumstances have placed him there, there's a burden on his heart that's larger than circumstances. It surpasses circumstances. And this is not his vocation, but this is now his calling. Mm-hmm. And that's a different
thing. The shock of chapter one is this individual, in many ways, is a young professional. Mm-hmm. He is enrolled in a very highfalutin corporate position, mm-hmm. With government or nonprofit or maybe profitable corporate sector. And he's using all of his skills, his education, his talents, and whatnot. And the edict had gone out for all the Jews to return back home. And for whatever reason, this guy is still here. Mm-hmm. Whether he's there and still being a faithful person and wanting to do the will of God there, or whether he's just hiding from the world, we have no idea. That's not revealed in Scripture. But this is the shock in chapter 1 is the two come to collide. Mm-hmm. And he needs to make a decision here. And what is it about the current generation that the two have separated? That, hey, I can do whatever I want to do and make money, and then I can also do God's will on the side. Like, is that a viable combination, a viable life? Jonathan.
Everyone's looking at me. All right.
Tell us, Jonathan.
Well, I think it's interesting here in Nehemiah, actually, in chapter 1. In Nehemiah, when he introduces himself first as a sinner. He does not say anything about being a cupbearer. That's the last thing he says in chapter 1. Mm. But first he recognizes, I'm a sinner. I'm part of the people that have failed God and the calling God has put on his people. So he recognizes his failure there. And then he slowly but surely, this understanding of his calling emerges in his life. So I think as we go through life, we need to pause sometimes and ask ourselves, Lord, and kind of recalibrate my situation. Who am I? We talked about that, identity. Mm-hmm. And then who is God and what has God revealed to me? Mm-hmm. And so when I recognize my position before God, God can then lead me into the right direction. So it doesn't really matter what profession I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. And as we said, sometimes it can overlap, and that is what God has called you to be. Mm-hmm. But it can be that God has a different path for you. So we need to ask ourselves, Lord, I am a sinner. This is my position. I need you. Please show me that calling you have upon my life.
And in some situations, we are to remain in those positions because the two do overlap.
Right.
And in the case of here, he leaves that position altogether. And how is God's will discerned, differentiated between the two? That's a good question to ask. Kelly.
Yeah. It just reminds me, so I'm going to move abroad soon, and people have asked, like, oh, why? Are you going to be a missionary? And they probably know what my response is, but I'm like, well, I'm always a missionary, so yeah. Yeah. And it's not even supposed to be like a holier than thou response, but it's like, missionary, you're always a missionary when you're a Christian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so just like as him being a cupbearer.
Holy
snark, that's right. But just this idea that you don't have to, you guys, I know we've talked about this, but I keep wanting to say it, is that you don't have to be full-time ministry in this idea that we kind of like you don't get paid from anything. Like we are all called to full-time ministry. It just looks different each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Israel. have nothing to say.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's go to some text.
Yes. Amen.
Let's go to some text here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And these are some principles we found from Scripture to discern the will of God. To give us principles on how to differentiate the circumstances we're in. 1 Corinthians 10:31.
I can read it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Go for it.
Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Okay, so we talked about in episode 2 that one of the sources of God's will, the foundation, is knowing the Scripture. So from this passage, there's some passages in Scripture where the principle needs to be mined out. Maybe it's a narrative, maybe it's a poem, and you'd be like, all right, he's saying this, but what can I get out of it? You got to extrapolate it out. And then there's other verses where the principle is just like, right there and forward.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those verses. Verse 31, whatever you eat, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God.
Yeah. This is, it speaks, I'll say something now.
Okay. Call on you, but go for it.
Well, I'm afraid that you might, so I'm like, oh, I better say something.
Say it.
I better say something. So, In all of Scripture, we have the fact that God has created us. Mm-hmm. All of His creation is designed to give honor and glory to Him, right? That's the whole point of the whole purpose of worship. Mm-hmm. That's what, as He's creating in Genesis chapter 1, mm-hmm. the climax of that creation is humanity, mm-hmm. and He gives the beautiful task to humanity to represent His image. A lot of times we've talked about, like, man, this, you know, if we take it from a legalistic perspective, how could God do that? He's so self-centered. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to reflect the image of God and give Him honor and glory or whatever. He must be a power-hungry God. This is not the case. Actually, representing or reflecting the image of God is the greatest
of all responsibilities.
Thank you. Yeah.
Responsibilities.
Yes. Yeah. Of all responsibilities, right? And so, callings. The greatest of all callings. That's what I'm looking for. Why is that the case? Because God is eternal. And so in every aspect of creation, He's given, along with the creation, He gives it a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. The purpose of the sun, moon, and stars are to serve as signs, seasons, days, and years. When He gets down to the creation of humanity, He says, you have the privilege of reflecting the image of God. This is an eternal privilege. Mm-hmm. And I often tell people the reason why heaven's going to be so awesome is not because we get to play with the bears and, you know, we get to wrestle with the tigers and slide down the noses.
Yeah, I am.
But at some point, that's going to become boring. What makes heaven heaven is the fact that we have this great eternal purpose to be able to do everything to the honor and the glory of God, to reflect His image mm-hmm. in our being.
Mm-hmm. When we come back after the break, we're going to look at how do we know when we should leave a profession, leave a position of work, or whether we should stay there. Stay with us after the break.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Hey, welcome back, friends. We are talking about the difference between career and calling. Mm-hmm. And I always ask, when I talk to campus ministry students, and these people, the modern condition has bifurcated. Again, I love that word, bifurcate.
We know.
Has separated your calling from your profession. Mm-hmm. So I can work a 9-to-5 job, I earn money, but then I can fulfill my calling in my other positions. But it's separating the spiritual call from my daily work to subsist and make money. But the question is, as a Christian who follows the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. and who espouses all His teachings and wants to push the gospel forward and is this vibrant, spiritual, you know, wonderful, happy person, can they have an honest relationship with Jesus working as a nuclear scientist on bombs? Mm-hmm. You know, if they're working from 9-to-5 and their job is to produce, you know, nuclear energy, that's cool. But weapons of mass destruction, my, I'm contributing to a worldview to eliminate life. And then afterwards, I give a Bible study unto people. There's a certain contradiction that modernity has not addressed. And so this verse in chapter 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, really all the time, mm-hmm. not just on the weekend or after work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is where the two should come together, but if not, separation must occur at a certain mm-hmm. point. You need yeah. to disengage. Even though you're making all that money, even though you're maybe paying tithe on it, even though that money may be used to sustain some mission in some part of the world, you are not doing that for the glory mm-hmm. of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So other principles we can get from this verse. Kelly?
Going back to one of your earlier questions mm-hmm. about how do we know if we should stay somewhere or mm-hmm. go somewhere else as far as like a job goes, part of it does come back to, so your words bifurcate, my word is providence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is God's providence in our life. And that is seeking to glorify God in whatever place that we are. So I think about how I became a teacher.
Mm.
I became a teacher because in high school, I really just thrive as a writer and reader. It just comes easy to me. And so I helped my classmates learn to write better and to, you know, construct their essays. Like, Kelly, you're a good teacher. I'm like, cool, moving on.
What grade were these?
What grade?
Mm-hmm.
High school, so 9th through 12th grade.
Cool.
And so I really enjoyed doing that. But I wasn't thinking, like, I will now strategize for my future career trajectory. It mm-hmm. was just, I'm being helpful, and I'm sharing my gifts with those around me, and I'm being patient and helping people. And that went to another job. I went to, like, a part-time job as teaching, and I liked it more and more, and then God opened doors. And so even...
Providence,
right. But I even think about Joseph, right? So Joseph, he served faithfully in Potiphar's house, and he wasn't thinking, I will someday become second in power in Egypt.
Right, right. Mm.
But he's being faithful in what he's being given. And so then by the time he is in charge, he's like, well, granted, this is a lot bigger than Potiphar's house, but I understand the aspects of management and of organization, of honesty and integrity, because he's already been serving. Mm. So it wasn't like a huge culture shock when God took him to somewhere crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So along we choose to honor God in every different part of our life, God can use that to take us to better places.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Going back to 1 Corinthians 11 here, it says, whatever 11? You, 1 Corinthians 10, 31,
yeah. okay.
whatever you do, you know, glorify God with it. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's very important. It's a crucial point. Sometimes we don't know what is God's calling in my life. And it's a process of learning and mm-hmm. seeing, and really God's calling is not just one thing always. Sometimes it might be, you know, like Moses, go and take the people out of Israel and bring them to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dynamic. It changes over time. But what counts is faithfulness today.
Mm-hmm.
Faithfulness today and doing to the best of my ability and with relying on Christ what God has given me to do today, and He will, through providence, lead me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I really appreciate that, because it really speaks to my current experience, actually. As I said, you know, I was led into being a teacher slowly since high school, and even going through college, I was like, I'm going to be a teacher, and that's like what I'm going to be. And I still love teaching. I've been a high school English teacher, among other kinds of teachers, for the past 7 years, and I love it, but... I really sense that God is calling me to a completely different career right now, and that is full-stack web development, which has nothing to do with English teaching.
What?
Full-stack. It means front-end and back-end.
Okay, got it.
I'll talk to you about it later. So that's what I'm thinking
to. You can teach me about that.
I can. I can. And it's been really hard because, for me, like, my identity is I'm a teacher.
Mm.
I'm a high school English teacher, and if I'm not that, that means I'm failing God. And I don't get that really from the Bible or from my devotions, but I get it from my self-judgment and even judgment of others, being like, Kelly, that's sweet that you have other dreams, but clearly God's calling you to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And their reasoning is, well, you're good at being a teacher. And I appreciate that. And I do think that God often, if not like always, calls us into places of our gifts. But I don't think God only gives us one gift and says, use that one, and if you use any other ones, you're disobeying me.
Right.
That God can take me somewhere else, and I'm changing careers even because, as much as I love teaching, I don't think I can balance that with the family that I'm going to have.
Right.
And so that my ministry now shifts from all of my students to a family I'm going to have and raise.
Well,
and so as our priorities change, many times our jobs can, but I'm still called to be a missionary, and I'm still called to be faithful, I'm still called to invest in people, and just because it changes a little bit between 9 and 5 doesn't mean I'm disobeying God.
Mm-hmm. And that's really where the story of Nehemiah is kind of a reflection of that. Now, I'm not saying that your teaching position wasn't the right place. I think God led you to that. Clearly, you were ministering to kids and so on. But in Nehemiah, we don't know if he got into this position because God brought him there or if it was just, you know, the natural experience he had. But the beautiful thing is that even if you right now might be in a position that is not where God wants you to be, as soon as you open yourself up to let God change the direction, He can use you in that position where you are right now, make something amazing, and lead you to the next point, as He did with Nehemiah, where He said, you know, well, we're going to take all the money from the king to build the wall to Jerusalem.
Oh, we're here, might as well.
Exactly.
Also, those skills that he learned during that time become crucial for this next stage in his calling. So whatever she's doing in the future, her teaching skills and her full stacking skills somehow come into play later on. The Lord is, even though we don't have this bird's eye view, the Lord has this cumulative view in the larger picture. Yeah. I want to ask you, in Nehemiah chapter 1, it's very clear that he did not have this before, but he developed after talking to Hanani, he had a burden. He had a burden for the homeland, hometown, the Jerusalem. It developed. It got to him to be on his knees for several months. He's praying, he's crying, he's sitting down, he's fasting, all these things. And then so the question is, how many of us is burden a factor in our calling? And then so that's not the question. Yeah. But with the burden, sometimes you don't have the financial stability to fulfill that burden, right? I want to go out there and do X, Y, or Z, but I have no money. So how do you balance financial stability with the burden that you perceive that God has called you to do?
Great question.
I don't know if there's an answer to that kind of a question. Sometimes God calls us to move in faith in these kinds of situations. And this was certainly the case in the lives of his disciples, right? He said, go without a purse, and then I'm going to show you the power of God to move.
Yes.
Now, I think what's critical for us to note is the fact that, especially living in today's society, we have to be responsible with the burden that God has called us to do. And in very few cases does God call us to move in a way God calls to move in a way that's irresponsible. So it's always important for us to always test the call that God has given to us.
And how do you do that?
I think you test it by what Jonathan has already said, what Kelly has already said, and that is that there are many times when the ultimate burden is never fully revealed. Nehemiah does not know what the end of his life story is going to be. Kelly does not know what the end of her life story is going to be, if she's ever going to go back into teaching or if she's going to go into another different kind of profession. God doesn't work that way. What Jonathan was saying is that God reveals himself in a dynamic way because our calling is many times dynamic, right? And what matters most is faithfulness right now in what I'm called to do. And as I'm faithful in what I'm doing now, then God begins to expand that in his own timing. Case in point is what Callie was saying in the life of Joseph, right? Joseph is literally a slave. And then he goes from being a slave to being a criminal in jail. And then he goes from being a criminal in jail to leading an entire nation, the wealthiest and strongest nation of that time. You think, how in the world is a criminal going to do that? Well, God was preparing him to do that, unbeknownst to him. And so faithfulness in what I do now, faithfulness in how I manage my money now, faithfulness in how I manage my education now, and how I manage my relationships now, will ultimately determine what kind of life calling I have in the future. But I have to also take into consideration the life calling of the immediate presence right now.
I love this picture that's emerging from these weeks of studies that we've had thus far. Is that I appreciate what you said sometime in some episode, somewhere around the Jonathan, you said something about that the Bible, especially the Hebrew Bible, always has this holistic picture of things. And when you look at life trajectories, that God also has this holistic picture of our lives trajectories in mind as well. So for example, that we have this thing going on, and then too often in our modern sense, we're like, well, this was one stage of my life. And now this is a new stage. It's completely different, completely unrelated, and now it's just kind of, and I got to figure it out. And then it's like, well, now it's my next chapter. And they're all not related, unconnected, and you guys got to refine yourself at every stage. But God, although we also have a holistic picture of ourselves, God has a holistic picture of our lives, so that each is connected. In the story of Joseph, especially, and Nehemiah, they're all connected. One feeds into another, and it's almost this masterpiece of art emerges that you can only appreciate when you look back. In reflection and remembrance, like, wow, like this happened, and this from my point in life here.
Right.
And it's a really cool place to be with God when that occurs.
It gives you incredible peace when you think about it. That's the way God looks at your life.
Yeah.
That gives me that's the peace of God that passes all understanding, knowing that He's guiding my life, and even though I might not understand every step of the way, I can know and for sure that when I look back, I will not want it to have been any other way, except more faithfulness in the process. I know we've all been unfaithful. We need to trust God every moment. But that gives me a joy and also confidence that the next step will be revealed when it needs to be revealed. Let's be faithful today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And God will never waste any experience that He is... That he makes us go through. What is what's important about God's method of revealing purpose and bestowing burden is that in the end it comes down to that text that we read. The purpose of creation is to bring honor and glory to God. And if God were to lead us, allow us to form our own paths to the fulfillment of our own purpose and vision, we would be tempted to think, I arrived here on my own.
Mm.
And many times God doesn't reveal it so that at the end of our life, at the end of the trajectory, when we look back, we say, actually, I had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
I had nothing to do with this. God led me to this place. Like in the life of Joseph, right? He looks back. No criminal no one has ever accomplished what Joseph has accomplished. Yeah. Why? Because it's humanly impossible to do so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's why God, in moments in time, reveals only a partial fulfillment of His will in our lives so that we would be faithful in what we're doing today and not be overwhelmed by the green pastures on the other side of the fence.
What's so beautiful in this whole process is that we're called, as we read earlier, to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
That God chooses us, the mess that we are, as messed up as we are, to glorify Himself, to reveal His character to this world. That means it's His responsibility to make our life a success so that He can be glorified. I just take great comfort in knowing that.
It's one thing to say, like right now, oh, I glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's my punctiliar, just in a statement.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to say, in my whole life, as I look back, my whole history, and then because of my whole history and my present and in hope of the future, my whole life glorifies God. I mean, that's an incredible, I mean, it's just an incredible thought.
Yeah.
How many of you out there want to give your lives to God and glorify the Lord with your life trajectory? That's our prayer. Hopefully that's yours. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you here next week on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.